Perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. But when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. The book of Isaiah is written from the view of the prophet Isaiah and from his visions. And through the first 11 chapters, we read the struggles that Judah and Israel are going through at the time and the warnings that Isaiah is giving to them. Continuing on after chapter 11, we move forward with the encouragement that he receives and shares with the people. And that's around the time that the verse of this evening, the passage, comes from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 12. And the passage begins verses 3 through 4 telling us about this perfect peace that God promises us. And now, I don't know about you, but I like the sound of perfect peace, and I would like some of that, you know? But what exactly is perfect peace, and how do we obtain it? The term peace comes rooted from the Hebrew term of shalom. And the only reason I know that is because sometimes I like to pretend to be a yogi, and in yoga practice, they often use the word shalom in the sense of peace during the session. And now, perfect peace comes rooted from the Hebrew term of shalom, shalom. So the repetition in saying shalom twice just kind of feels intensified. Not only did God gift us with peace, shalom, but he gifted us with peace, peace, shalom, which is then just means perfect peace as translated. And peace used in the English language sometimes refers to the absence of war or being in seclusion. And now, peace can mean many different things to different people. For example, I am a hardcore introvert, so I find my peace usually being alone, reading a book, being out in nature, or sitting alone in the dead silence, which is usually very hard living in a woman's dorm of very energetic underclassmen. Other ways people may find peace can be through hanging out with a group of friends, going to a sports game, sitting around a table surrounded by family over dinner, and so forth. And while all these things are good, because I am not naive to the other alternatives in the world, the peace that we are promised by the Lord is so much more than the times we find ourselves partaking in these earthly desires, earthly habits that we seem to find peace in. And the peace we are promised by God means having a sense of wholeness, a sense of completeness or fullness. This sense of peace is only achieved through our relationship with the Lord and is the only true peace that we could ever obtain. And now the passage continues on with verse 4 reading, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." Being in a trusting relationship with the Lord is the only way to find true, perfect peace. And this is where it becomes really difficult, because both trusting and being in peace are both battles of the mind. While we may find short-term peace through other activities like those that I mentioned, the peace is not bound to last compared to the peace provided and promised through Jesus Christ. And with all of the chaos in our lives, it can be very challenging to find any sense of peace in our lives. We pack ourselves so tight and run ourselves so thin, overpacking our schedules with work, school, hobbies, friends, family, etc. And although we are spreading ourselves thin with things that we love and feel that we need to do, we still experience a sense of emptiness because we leave out the most valuable piece of our lives, the only ingredient of receiving peace, a trusting relationship with God. While I'm in school, I'm surrounded by so many positive things in my life. I follow the same hectic schedule of going to practice, going to classes, doing homework, internships, work, and being in fellowship with others, while also strategically scheduling a little me time so I don't lose my introverted mind. I wear myself thin with all the things I love, but things that cannot fulfill me because I failed to make room in my hectic schedule to spend time in a relationship with the Lord. And it isn't usually until I find myself completely exhausted, feeling empty, and have set myself into almost a panic attack that I make time to sit back and look for the core of the issue. And it is then that I decide I need to make time to spend with the healer, who can fill the emptiness that I am feeling and bring me a sense of peace that my heart desires. Not making time to spend in Christ, I leave out room for trusting Him and allowing Him to bring me that true, perfect peace that my soul is longing for. Now, I would be lying if I said I don't continue to go through that cycle of events of overcrowding my schedule, going into a panic attack, and then having to take a step back from my schedule and look at the core of the issue. But, however, I know that my life and my relationship with Christ is a continuation of building and growing. And while I struggle with this and lots more, I believe in a God of encouragement, of forgiveness, and one who promised perfect peace without any strings attached. A God who humbles those who dwell on high, builds up the oppressed and the poor, levels the path of the righteous, and lifts his hand high and fulfills all of our yearning souls and longing spirits with that peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 reads, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And now, because of these promises of the Lord, his unending love and peace for us, we have the opportunity to take part in Holy Communion. I'm going to invite Reverend Larry Marshall, who will be leading us in communion this evening.
We have an approachable God. God is amazing and awesome, and yet Scripture tells us that it is God who breaks down walls of hostility. So whatever turmoil we face tonight, we can find that peace that Alex was talking about through the grace of God. Paul says, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ?" And you know what his answer is? Absolutely nothing. Not anything that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's why in the United Methodist Church, we believe in an open table. You don't have to be a member of a church or a member of this church to come and take the bread and the cup. Because we take the bread and the cup to remember this God of peace, this God that we can experience his love through his Son Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day. So this day, we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, a part of the common meal. And after he had blessed it and broke it, he gave it to his disciples and take and eat this in remembrance of me. Take the bread as a gift of grace. And after supper, he took the cup. And after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of this, for this cup represents the new covenant of blood that I will shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Take the cup. Share it. Drink in that grace. We will take Holy Communion by intinction, and as God leads you, you can come forward. You will be given a piece of bread. You can dip it in the cup and partake, and then go back and meditate on God's grace.
Let us pray together. Heavenly and gracious Father, we come to you this evening. Thank you. Thanking you for this time, allowing us to be in your presence. We thank you for all the unending praises and joys that you bring in our lives. And we also come to you with all of the prayers, those spoken and those unspoken. We come to you asking for healing in every aspect of our lives, emotional, physical, spiritual, and so forth. And we pray for those who may be grieving at this time. We send prayers in our communities and in our world for those struggling with hunger, homelessness, peace, looking for peace in all of the violence and in the injustice. And we thank you so much for Jesus Christ and for his resurrection, forgiving us in our sins. Amen. And as you continue from this place this evening, I pray that you long for a trusting relationship with Christ. Present all of your requests to the Lord and find true, perfect peace in your life and in your soul. Go in peace and let the blessings of the Lord carry you in this day and forevermore. Amen.